When we began our study several weeks ago on becoming like Christ, we first of all learned that God has a purpose for every man's life, and that purpose, according to Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29, is that we would be conformed to the image of Christ. He predetermined the will for our lives, and that is that we would become like His Son. And we've learned that that happens, first of all, by receiving Christ as our Savior. Every person needs to make a choice about Jesus Christ and whether or not they will receive Him as their Savior. And after we receive Him as our Savior, then His Spirit indwells us, and we then have the choice to yield to the Spirit of God. And in so doing, we can become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have seen that there's a battle that takes place in a Christian's life on this journey of becoming like Christ. And that battle is sometimes called the battle between the old nature and the new nature. In fact, notice if you would what it says in Ephesians 4:24. It says, "And that you put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." This indicates that God wants a change in our lives. God wants our lives to reflect His presence with us. And so we see this phrase, put on the new man. We'll see in a moment, put off the old man. The new man is that which comes into our life at salvation, the Spirit of God. The old man is the way of the flesh. God says, I want you to put off that old life and put on that new life. Many of you have seen on the news lately the coming of the Olympics, and now as the racers are getting ready and the races have begun, and it's very true that in the Olympic life, it's a matter of putting off the old and putting on the new. Olympic athletes are going to put off some old things maybe in their diet. They're not going to get to eat as many Snicker bars as I'm going to eat in the next few weeks. And they're going to have to put off some things even as far as their apparel. They're not going to run the 400-meter race with combat boots on. They're going to put off the old and put on the new as they get ready for that race. Well, in this race called the Christian life, God says, if you're going to be an expression of my Son, Jesus Christ, there are some things you're going to put off. And there are some things you're going to put on in the Christian life. It is God's desire that we would have a godly influence in this world. It is God's desire that we would reflect His Son to a lost and dying world. Now, if that's going to happen, there are three things we need to understand this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, that we must walk a different walk. If we're going to express the Lord Jesus in this life, then we must walk a different kind of a walk in this world. Now, let's see what he says about that in verse 17 this morning. Paul the Apostle, writing to this church at Ephesus, states, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Now, the Apostle Paul is stating that God intends for a believer in Christ to have a different kind of behavior in this world. He intends for a believer's life to be radically different from the behavior of an unbeliever. Now, we live in a day in which many Christians are being told that it doesn't matter and you can live however you want to live, and even some churches are just making folks feel comfortable in that lifestyle. But you know, the fact of the matter is that God is calling us to be distinct in this day. He's calling us to be different. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God says in verse number 17, I don't want you to walk according to the course of this world. Now, notice Paul's description of the world. We see, first of all, the world's darkened condition. The world's darkened condition. The Bible tells us in verse 17, in the latter portion of the verse, that the Gentiles, speaking here of the unsaved world surrounding Ephesus, that they walk in the vanity of their mind. The world's darkened condition is first described then as being a condition of empty philosophies. Vanity of mind. The word vanity means empty. The empty philosophies of this world certainly abound even to this day. The Bible speaks of them in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8 when it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through vain philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." God says that there are certain philosophies in this world that are going to spoil us or carry us away from the things of God. And so these empty philosophies are a reflection of the world's darkened condition spiritually. Secondly, Paul describes this darkened condition with the term darkened understanding. Darkened understanding. Notice, if you would, in verse 18 what it says. Having the understanding darkened. In other words, those without Christ are spiritually blinded. Their understanding is darkened when it concerns the things of God. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." In other words, God says Satan has blinded many people from ever seeing the truth of God. Many people never see the gospel because Satan has blinded their eyes. And think about these empty philosophies for a moment. Think about those in darkened understanding. They grasp at almost any kind of teaching in this world today. Some men, for example, believe that after they die, they're going to come back to this world in the form of an ape or a hippo or a cockroach, and they literally believe that to be true. Others believe that they are intrinsically good, and according to their humanistic philosophies, they need no savior. They can save themselves. And others even teach that they are becoming a god by themselves and without the help of Jesus Christ and without the truth of the gospel. Many various kinds of philosophies are in the world today, but the Bible speaks of them as being vain imaginations and darkened philosophies. Notice the third description, blindness of heart. Blindness of heart. Verse 18, it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. You see, without the illumination of the Spirit of God in our life, we are spiritually blind. Without the light of the Word and without the light of God's Spirit, mankind is blind spiritually. Even the wisest of men in this world, whether Einstein or Nietzsche or some other philosopher, they are blinded without the truth of the gospel. And so the Apostle Paul refers to the human race as a world in a darkened condition. A world in a darkened condition. But notice, secondly, he describes this world as being the world's depraved nature. Not only is our walk to be different from the darkened condition of this world, but it is to be different from those who walk merely according to their depraved nature. Now, notice how he describes mankind's depraved nature in verse 19. He says, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. The word lasciviousness means all kinds of wicked living. Now notice the phrase there, past feeling. He says there are some people who come to a place where they have been so involved in wickedness, so darkened from the truth, they have turned away from God to such a point that there is a numbness of soul which takes over in their life, and this God-rejecting person becomes numb to the truth as if Novocaine has been shot into their spiritual heart. They no longer want God. They reject God. They curse God. They hate the things of God. They hate moral truths, and they reject the truth of Almighty God. Now, let me illustrate it this way. Did you know that in a sense, when the doctors are trying to diagnose the problems of the body, it is very important that they can identify where the pain is? They need to know where the pain is coming from in order to know how to diagnose the problem. And in fact, they're not going to medicate us to the point that there is absolutely no pain, because they need to know at least where the pain is originating from so that they can make the proper diagnosis. In short, it is a dangerous thing to come to the place physically where you can feel no pain. Now, spiritually, it is a dangerous thing to come to the place where you are past feeling, where you no longer can feel the pricking conviction of God, where you no longer feel the difference between right and wrong. And those who embrace the wicked philosophies of this world will soon lose their sense of what is right and what is wrong. They will soon come to a numbness of soul to the point that they can live all day and have multiple sexual relations and then go to the drug scene and go to the scene of bar hopping and wicked living and never feel anything about it, never care about it, never seem to think that there's anything right or wrong about it. They are past feeling. What a sad place to come to. What a sad thought that people today in this community and in this country can get to that place of being past feeling, some to the point of engaging themselves in demonic or lustful activities with no conscience at all. So God says in this darkened condition and in this depraved nature that man can get to a place where his soul is literally numb. American Demographics magazine reported this month that the sixth fastest growing industry in America last year was the tattoo industry. One of the fastest growing industries in America is the tattoo industry. And one of the surveys in American Demographics magazine indicated that juniors and seniors in high school in America surveyed, and there were several thousand in the poll, 10% of these young students indicated that they had already received at least one tattoo in their body. And of the 10%, 37% of those said they did so when they were with their friends just to show their independence. Now, young people, let me share something with you this morning. There are a lot smarter ways to show your independence. And for a Christian young person who knows what the Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and that you are not your own, you've been bought with a price? In other words, when you know the Christian life and understand that Christ is living in you, you're not going to desecrate this body. You're going to understand that you have a higher purpose in life. But you see, without Christ, there is a darkness of soul. There is a depravity of nature that takes a young person beyond the limits many times and takes an adult beyond the limits. And in their anger and in their rage and in their depression, many times they are past feeling. What a sad place to live. The Bible speaks of this in Mark 7:22 when it says concerning thefts and covetousness and wickedness and deceit and lasciviousness and the evil eye and blasphemy and pride and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Think of that phrase, and defile the man. You see, when someone gives himself over to wickedness and sin and lust and drugs and all of the ways of this world, his life is literally being defiled from within. His moral conscience being seared with a hot iron so that he no longer understands the way to go. Now, I want to show you something that really amazed me in verse 19 about this particular lifestyle. Notice what it says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now notice that word work. It means to take pain to do your best. It means that there are people in the world who, because of their darkened condition spiritually and their depraved nature spiritually, there are people who literally take pains and work and do their best at uncleanness. They do their best to live in a defiled way. There are people today who are working at being defiled and living in a vile way. There are people who really work today at this thing of body piercing. There are people who work today and really shop to find the most provocative clothing and really work to cuss the worst cuss words so that they can really prove something to you. And they really exercise themselves to ungodliness rather than to godliness. And Paul writes to a group of Christians in Ephesus and he says, if you want to become like Christ, then you must walk a different walk from this world all around you. Your lives must be showing that there's something different going on within your life. So first of all, we must walk a different walk. Now notice secondly this morning, Paul challenges them. We must be different to make a difference. We must be different to make a difference. Now those of you that are members of Lancaster Baptist Church, you understand that one of our purposes as a church is to impact the Antelope Valley with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to make a difference. We're not just here to tread water and hold on until Jesus comes. We want to make a difference in this day. But you know, the way to make a difference is very clearly shown here in the Word of God. God wants us to put off the old and to put on the new. Now notice this, if you would, as we begin in verse number 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. First of all, we must put off the old. And there are three things mentioned concerning the old. And let me show you here, first of all, what he means by putting off the old. He says, first of all, here that you put off the former conversation or lifestyle of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. We see then, first of all, the old disposition must be put off. The word conversation or manner of life. You see, the Holy Spirit of God will create a new disposition in you. He will create love and joy and peace. And yet we must put off that old conversation, that anger and malice and envy. Put off the old, he says. And the old disposition is included. Secondly, the old desires. Verse 22 says, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. The old desires are corrupt according to deceitful lust, and the old man will only produce corruption in your life. Now, the new nature of the Spirit of God will create holiness and love and godliness, but the old nature will create corruption. For the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And when we sow seeds of corruption, we will reap a life of spiritual death. And so we see here the old disposition must be put off, and the old desires must be put off, and then the old direction. Notice the old direction, verse 23. He says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, the direction of your life can be traced to the way that we think. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh, so is he. The Bible says, for example, that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if we want to put off the old direction, we must then renew our mind by the Word of God. And the Word of God is the tool that God's Holy Spirit uses to give us a new way of thinking and a new way of living. Let me illustrate it with this verse, Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, God says if your mind is going to be renewed, you need to think on my word. You need to think on things that are true and lovely. For example, if we fill our mind with MTV, and if we fill our mind with wicked stories, and if we fill our mind with wicked thoughts, our life will reflect that in our everyday living. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. But if we fill our mind with God's word and wholesome entertainment, then our lives will reflect that which we're putting in. As one man simply stated it this way, garbage in, garbage out, garbage in, garbage out. But if we put the word of God in, we're going to live out, we're going to express the life of Jesus Christ. So we must put off the old, is what Paul is saying. And then if we're going to really make a difference, we must be different. And so that happens by putting off the old. And then secondly, putting on the new. Putting on the new. Now notice what he says in verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now listen to this very carefully. The old man is after the Adamic nature. Now, Romans 5:12 says it this way. Romans 5 and verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, Adam, as the spiritual head of the human race, chose to sin. And from Adam, sin passed upon all men. And that is why every one of us today need a Savior. So the old man is after the Adamic line, but the new man is after Jesus Christ. Because when we are born again by the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ gives us a new nature. Now, every one of us need to recognize that even as Christians, there's the battle between the old and the new. And we must put off the old and put on the new. And it is very true that the old nature wars against the new nature. I illustrate it this way. Every one of you who have had a baby, every one of you who've ever held a little baby have noticed what people do. They'll take that newborn and they'll look at that little bald head and those little eyes peeking through the blanket and they'll say, isn't she precious? Isn't she beautiful? She looks just like Uncle Zeke or Aunt Bertha. And they'll start saying who she looks like and they'll go through that. But you know, about 6 months later, that little beautiful, cuddly, sweet thing is a monster. How many of you have noticed what I'm talking about? Give them 6 to 12 months. In fact, right now while I'm preaching this message in the one-year-old nursery, I guarantee that there's a kid right now ready to throw a toy at another one. Don't go check. I'm just telling you. There's another kid biting perhaps a little baby. They're gnawing at one another. They're throwing toys at one another. Now, I don't think any of you taught them how to do that. I don't think any of you said, now you know that Smith baby? When you see him, get a bunch of it. I don't think that's what you said. I think they just kind of grow up knowing they have a propensity towards sin. They just kind of grow up with that Adamic nature, that old fleshly nature. And God says we're to put off that old nature and put on the new man, which is after Christ, he says here in verse number 24. And the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now the new man is reflected in two descriptives here. First of all, in a transformed tongue. Someone that is putting on the new man, someone that is growing in Christ, is going to speak differently. Remember a moment ago we said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Well, let's see what it says in verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You see, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. John 15 says, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father. When you are yielding to God's Spirit, when you are yielding to God's Word, your life will reflect it. There will come from your life a truthfulness and a transformation, even in the way you speak. And secondly, in reference to the new man, there is a transformed temper. A transformed temperament, we might say. Notice, if you would, in verse number 26. This is an interesting verse. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, isn't that something? Be angry and sin not. Someone says, I thought anger was a sin. And yet, this verse is telling us that we're to be angry at the problem, but not at the person. For example, you can be angry at liquor when liquor has turned your husband into an alcoholic, but you should not be angry at your husband. You can be angry at some other type of sin that's hurting your family, but not to be angry at your family. Be angry and sin not. That's what we call a righteous indignation. We can be angry about the problem and the sin of abortion, but we're not to have hate towards an abortionist. We're not to have hate towards someone who's made a wrong decision. So the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. In other words, be angry at the problem, but not at the person. And someone who's always angry at other people is not reflecting the new man. That's that old nature that gets so ticked off so easily and that finds itself going into the sinful pattern so easily. Now notice this in verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Did you know that when we get angry at others, that we are giving place to the devil? Did you know that angry people produce angry children? Angry parents raise angry children. Anger ruins children and ruins relationships. And that's why we need to put off that old and put on the new. And when we put on the new man and yield to the Spirit of God, it will be evidence with a transformed tongue and a transformed temperament. And our life will be obviously different. You see, we must be different to make a difference. If Christians are living and talking and looking and acting just like the rest of the world, why would they ever want Jesus Christ then? We must be different to make a difference. And we come to the understanding, first of all, that if we're going to express the life of Christ, we must walk a different walk. And we must be different to make a difference. Now watch this and we're done. Number three. If we're going to be different and make a difference, we must love Christ if we will be different. We must love Christ if we will be different. Now love is the great motivator. Love is the great motivator. Now, there's a couple of verses I skipped a moment ago coming through the passage. And for those of you who are watching me on that, let's go back right now, because verses 20 and 21 are the key to all of this. Verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Now, verse 20 says, you didn't learn this ungodly lifestyle that was mentioned prior from Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, in verse 21, is the one who teaches us the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free from the ungodly lifestyle. Now, we must then have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Someone may wonder this morning, man, how can I put off the old and put on the new? It seems like every time I try to turn over a new leaf, every time I try to do better, I go back into that old lifestyle. The old man is so strong. How in the world can I have victory to put off the old and put on the new? Well, I want to tell you, the key is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as I said a few weeks ago, it's not so much a matter of discipline, it is a matter of devotion. How much do you know and love Jesus Christ? Because when we love Christ, we want to live for Jesus Christ. Now, let me share a few things with you about the relationship of Christ. First of all, Jesus will be our teacher. Jesus will be our teacher. For the Bible says in verse number 21, we have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now, this is very significant, and I want to say this morning, if you've heard nothing else, get this point right here, and don't miss it this morning. The Apostle Paul is not pointing these Christians to a creed or to a list of commandments or to a particular denomination. The Apostle Paul, in this passage of Scripture, is pointing these people to a person. He says, you have not so learned Christ. He said, if you want to put off the old, then you've got to learn from Christ. Listen, Christianity is Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Christianity is a relationship, not with a religion, but with a person. Now, how's that relationship going for you? My wife and I, 20 years coming up here in a few months, we'll celebrate 20 years of marriage. And on that day, we committed ourselves one to another, and we began a life of service for the Lord. And relationships have a beginning point. So have you begun that relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Have you been born again by the Spirit of God? And if you know Him as your personal Savior, how's that relationship? Because, again, Christianity is not a bunch of creeds. It's not a bunch of commandments. It's not about denominations. It's about knowing Jesus Christ. It's about loving Jesus Christ. And Jesus will be our teacher. He will guide us through the truth. It's so important to understand that. This past week, U.S. News and World Report gave a report about a new decree that's come out from the Vatican. And U.S. News said, and I quote, arguably, no pope in history has done more than John Paul II to advance interfaith relations. He has worked with the Jews and the Muslims. They list other groups. So religious leaders were shocked last week when the Vatican issued a statement declaring the Roman Catholic Church to be the only instrument of salvation for all of humanity. Now, many of us have known that that's the belief of that particular church, and it doesn't surprise us, but when they say that their church is the only instrument of salvation for all of humanity, to put that down at layman's terms, that means that anyone that's not a member of that church is on their way to hell. Anyone that's not a member of that, if that's the only instrument, the church, they say, and this is a direct quote from the Vatican, is the only instrument of salvation for all humanity. Now, friend, I'm not saying this morning to bash Catholics or to lift up Baptists. I'm saying what I'm saying this morning to lift up Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Christianity is not a denomination, and it's not found through a particular church. Jesus said in Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. And friend, we must be saved by way of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way. And for those of you this morning that are trusting in your catechisms and your church religion and your baptisms and your works, thank God that you had the tenderness to attempt to find God through all of that. But no one finds God until they personally call upon Jesus Christ and ask Him to save them from their sins. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. First we meet the Lord. Then we love the Lord. And if we love the Lord, we want to put off the old. And we want to put on the new. And we want to live with Him and know Him and express Him in this world. But you know what Moses had to say to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 6:12? He said to them, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know, some of us who've grown up around church, here's the danger. We can forget how good God really is. We can become accustomed to all of it. And we slowly slip back into that old way of life. So he says, Moses does, I want you to love the Lord with all your heart. By the way, don't forget to keep loving the Lord with all of your heart. You see, a right relationship with Christ will give us victory over the mental and spiritual darkness of this world. A right relationship with Christ will clarify our thoughts, quicken our consciousness, and strengthen our resolve to do a great work for Him. And a right relationship with Christ is not found through the church. It is found through the Word of God. For the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we must put our faith not in a pastor, not in a priest, not in some creed, but in the living Word of God, which shows us the way to Jesus Christ. I'm so glad today that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ that truly makes a difference. So we must first of all see that Jesus is our teacher, and secondly, that Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the truth. Notice, if you would, verse 21. It says, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. How many of you agree with that today? The truth is in Jesus Christ. Friend, religion can corrupt and churches can get sidetracked, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us," speaking of Jesus, "and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus Christ is the true teacher, and the way of the world ends in defilement, decay, and death. And the way of the old man destroys relationships. But the way of the new man in Christ will build and edify our relationships in this day. A pastor in England years ago during World War II told the story that oftentimes as the bombers would come over, great devastation would come to his village. And in the morning, the businessmen would come up and they would begin to sweep out their area of business and they would try to get their broken cartons up off the ground. And he said as they would try to find some sense of normalcy, they would often put a sign out front. They would nail a sign to the little businesses in his village which said, "Business as usual." They just wanted everybody to know they're back to business and everything's going to be okay and business as usual. But I want to tell you something. When you truly understand what salvation is, the Bible way, when you truly understand what God does in salvation, His desire for your life is not business as usual. His desire is to put out a sign that says, "Under new management." Under new management. And that's what Jesus does when He changes us from the inside out. Now, for these types of days in which we live, when many people have this idea that they can get $3 worth of God on Sunday and live however they want the rest of the week, as long as they confess it to somebody sometime down the road, they're living business as usual. But if you want life under new management, Jesus Christ offers it today as a free gift. For He says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a great truth that is. And I pray today that we will be different because of our time around the Word of God this morning.